Welcome back, folks. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Gary Sheffield Jr. This is Yankees Unloaded, and the Yankees just unloaded on the Phillies, okay? They just swept the Phillies. There, I actually heard it that time. They just swept the Phillies, and they won two out of three against the Red Sox and now won five in a row. They are half game back because, of course, the Baltimore Orioles decided to start winning again. But, Gary, I'm actually really excited. I understand there's going to be a lot of people that are upset with yesterday's deadline, and we talked about that.
Understandable.
I mean, full-length feature film level. I mean, it was like an hour and 45 minutes. The only thing that'd be longer is Dune. No, I'm kidding. There are a lot of movies longer than that. But anyway, the point I'm making here is that I get it. I understand why people are upset. I didn't love what Cashman had to say. As a matter of fact, I think he'd be a great politician. So we'll see if he ever takes that up, because he just loves skeeting around the actual questions, number one. Number two, Gary, I found it really frustrating how, and again, we were living in the upside down today because Clay Holmes actually got the save, but I found it annoying how, you know, everyone goes to bat for Clay Holmes, including the general manager, Brian Cashman. And I really started to think about it. It actually bothered me the way Brian Cashman sided with him in accordance to the fact that earlier in the season, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is a former NL MVP in his own right, and he was not just like, I mean, he was disrespectful.
He ripped him.
Towards one of the bigger names on this roster, and one of the guys, frankly, you go to the ballpark to see. You're not going to the ballpark to see Clay Holmes. You're actually going to the ballpark hoping you don't have to see Clay Holmes. It means it's a close game, and I mean, you know, you don't feel great about him, but, you know, credit where credit's due, Clay Holmes got the save today. Anyway, point being, a lot happened. I still feel really good about this team. I think they are turning a corner. I said that when they won the second game against Boston. People were like, it's way too soon. Well, now they just swept the Philadelphia Phillies, and I don't care that they're also in a little bit of slump on their own. That was a huge, huge, huge series for them on the road.
It was a huge series, and I'll say this about Clay Holmes, because you have to remember, people did say this. This was somewhat of the expectation that, man, I really hope that Brian Cashman doesn't tell us that Stanton, Dominguez, and a couple of other guys like Schmidt and Poteet, that's considered your deadline, right? Well, the Yankees early on in the deadline went and got Jazz Chisholm. We mentioned on this show it was a fantastic fit, amazing pickup. But an amazing pickup doesn't mean an amazing deadline. None of us had Leiter Jr., who pitched today, and we'll talk about kind of how he was utilized later. But this deadline was a bit underwhelming, but I will say this. Coming into today's game, if you told me that DJ LeMahieu would drive in six runs, which I believe is a career high, and it would be the only, he would hit a grand slam and essentially be the only reason we won today. Nestor Cortez, I thought he was just fine. He was very typical. He's going to struggle his second way through the lineup. His third time, he'll be okay, and then you pull him, right? But considering the circumstances, we came into this game knowing it's essentially Tim Hill. We've got, who else? We had Leiter Jr., and there was actually question marks of if we even wanted to use Holmes because he'd pitched 2 days in a row. And we used those three guys, and we won the game. So if you told me we went on the road with Nestor Cortez, used those three guys, and won a game and completed a sweep against what most people consider to be the best team in the major leagues, despite how they're playing right now, we would take it any day of the week. So right now, there's a huge emphasis on deadline, but in my opinion, there's a huge emphasis on Jason Dominguez. I think the time is, and I can't say it's now. You mentioned this, Jake. The moment that you see Jason Dominguez swinging any type of, it's just even resembling a hot bat, I'm bringing him to this major league roster. Absolutely. Because you have to remember, very clearly, based on the utilization of our leadoff spot, we have no answer there. Aaron Boone is showing you he has no confidence of who's hitting leadoff for this team. You come into today, this past week, we mentioned Alex Verdugo. He's been a different player since the break, right? We mentioned Anthony Volpe. Wow, he's a different player since the break. Seems like they really needed that break, didn't they? Did he trust any of those guys to hit leadoff? No, he's really just been jumbling guys around. One moment, you're hitting seventh, which Verdugo did today. Just this past couple days, Verdugo was hitting leadoff in the Boston series. So what it goes to show you is that the Yankees don't trust Gleyber Torres. They don't trust DJ LeMahieu, Volpe. They don't trust any of these guys to fill that position. But you know who can? Our best prospect, Jason Dominguez. He can.
Absolutely.
and he's athletic. He fits the bill of exactly what this team needs. We don't need walks. We need run producers. He makes this lineup that much better. And by the way, that ball that Giancarlo hit today, we're glad he's back, skipped his rehab assignment. He hit a ball 120 today off the bat.
Yeah.
Come on, Jake.
He looked really good today. And I mean, I texted you right after he had a second hit. I'm like, he's got two hits in this game. I never want him sitting the bench again. Like, are we serious about yesterday, the fact that he didn't even play? And then, of course, he came up as a pinch hitter, and he's terrible as a pinch hitter. It's awful. Awful pinch hitter.
Statistically speaking, you're not offering an opinion. For those of you who are unaware, yeah, and I'm assuming most of our audience does know this, Giancarlo is notoriously a putrid pinch hitter. And now it seems like they said yesterday he didn't play. That was the plan. So it seems like, okay, this is like a makeshift rehab assignment. You're going to play today, you're going to sit tomorrow, and then you're going to play the next day. And maybe the Yankees are just deploying that. That's just their plan. But I will say, he needs to also produce. It's not just about him being on the field. He needs to hit. And a lot of people did question, with no rehab assignment, what type of production are you expecting out of Giancarlo Stanton? Well, today it was really good. So I don't know necessarily what the answer is there. Do you just let Giancarlo play every day or every other day and hope that he stays healthy? Or do you just maximize his output and play him whenever he is healthy and just essentially use that as a Band-Aid and a bridge to Jason Dominguez?
So Giancarlo Stanton, want to have some fun and guess what his batting average is when he pinch hits?
I'm going to go ahead and say his batting average is under 140.
You're right. And what is actually it? I initially thought it would be under 100, and it is. It's 0.089. So putrid.
Is that like a blood alcohol level?
He has a 333 OPS when pinch hitting, a 111 slugging, which is the opposite of Stan. Stan has a 222 on base percentage. That might be the only time in the history of ever where Giancarlo Stan has a higher on base percentage than a slugging percentage. He is not a pinch hitter. He never has been, and he never will be.
He's a rhythm player, is what we're learning here.
Yeah, he's 7 walks and 54 plate appearances. He has 2 runs, 4 hits. He's 4 for 45, and he does not have a home run. He does not have a home run. So no.
And we will. Like, you know what's interesting is Aaron Boone, every once in a while, he does deploy him. Like, he'll go out there, throw him in a situation. They're like, well, it's a man on third and second with one out. This is a situation where we'd love to see Stan drive a ball. It's like, well, long-term data says he won't. So shouldn't that determine what you do and who you deploy is based on long-term data? Because they talk all day long about analytics, and analytics situationally can be helpful, but don't tell me you're knee deep in analytics and then analytically a player's hitting under 100 pinch hitting and then you deploy him in that way. Very clearly, Giancarlo Stanton, and by the way here, Jake, Giancarlo is a creature of habit. He also hit better when he was playing left field. Do you remember that? Yeah. They put him in left field. He said, yeah, I don't have to worry about, I can stay loose, I can stay relaxed, I can go out there and swing a bat. And that's all great. But when your general manager says, yeah, we just don't expect to see you healthy, it kind of goes to show you how bad it's been. I mean, it's been, Jake, we can be honest, Brian Cashman technically was telling the truth there. I just wouldn't have said it. As far as Giancarlo's presence in this lineup, Aaron Judge is now pitched to. That's all that we need. I understand when people say we need a four hitter. We've all looked at the numbers of what Wells and what all these guys have done, what Ben Rice did in the four spot, which wasn't very good. Well, you just need a guy that's formidable enough in the starting lineup to where you can't just pick around Aaron Judge. And that's what Giancarlo is. It's what Jazz Chisholm, who hits right behind Giancarlo today, it's what he's for. You are just meant to be a depth piece to make sure that teams can't say, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, we're not going to let them beat us. We're not going to allow that to happen. Yeah. We're going to make, per se, LeBron James kick it to the corner and make some role player hit a three. We're going to do that over and over and over again. And as you see, the more league average or better offensive players join this lineup, suddenly Soto and Judge are pitched to. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, people forget. I mean, just like an offensive line and how you need five guys, right? You need all five guys to work, be a collective unit. Well, you need all nine guys in the lineup to work in unison. I mean, these guys need to have communication. There needs to be something where guys on base, you know, you have to understand, okay, Judge is at the plate. I'm not trying to steal here. I am an RBI, like right now. I'm not trying to get thrown out and cost us the inning. You know, a lot of these guys have to work in unison. So I definitely agree with that. I think for today, Gary, I mean, Stanton and LeMahieu were the only guys with multi-hits today, which is kind of interesting. But almost everybody had a hit in this game except for Torres and Judge. Judge actually struck out four times. I'm not going to get on Judge because he literally had more. So the last five games, he had gotten on base 18 times. That's the most in a five-game stretch since 2004, if you missed last night's show, Matsui. Okay, so I am not going to get on Judge. You know, these games happen. I don't know why Glaber was leading off. I mean, Verdugo's actually hit decent since he was added to the leadoff spot. So I don't know why Glaber was leading off.
I thought Verdugo's at bats today, by the way. That hit that he had to left center field, that's what we were hoping for. And well, I'm not going to sit here. Off. Yeah, absolutely. But I won't look at a player for a series or two and say, oh, he's just back. I think that's just a little overblown. Same thing with Anthony Volpe. What matters is that you're doing for me. Right now, what matters, if you're doing something for me, I'm just happy about it. It doesn't mean I have to draw a conclusion about you. It doesn't mean that we now need to start moving you around. I don't think any of these things. I just am happy about what Alex Verdugo is doing at the plate because it's more than absolutely nothing, which is what we were getting. And all we need out of Alex Verdugo, because keep in mind his role, he's the starting left fielder for this team. Based on what the Yankees have, personnel-wise, he's just got to be serviceable until Jason Dominguez is here. Once that happens, if you really want Verdugo's bat and he's still swinging a hot bat, that would be awesome. Put him at DH. Allow Giancarlo, who right now you're deploying as an every other day player, you can go ahead and platoon him with Giancarlo Stanton. So just allowing these guys to be league average opens up so many things for this Yankees team personnel-wise. And it also, if these guys are hitting, imagine if Verdugo and Volpe were just not hitting at all. We essentially, you know what we'd be saying, Jake, on this podcast? We'd probably be agreeing with it. We would be saying, just call up Dominguez anyways before he's ready. Just call him up. He doesn't need rehab assignment. Just bring him here because whatever he provides is going to be better than what these guys are giving us. But if they're going to be this, you actually can time it the way you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bummed not to see Cabrera in this lineup today, not going to lie. And I do think they need to start letting Cabrera play second. I don't think Glaber has done enough to be an everyday second baseman. I'm going to nonstop say that, okay? I don't think Glaber has done enough to be an everyday second baseman. I think
leading the league in errors didn't convince you?
I think he and Oswaldo Cabrera need to split time there. And maybe you give him 60-40 or 70-30, but why is Cabrera, when he's hitting well, this is a pattern here. Aaron Boone takes him out of the lineup. You can say, oh, well, Jazz Chisholm. That's great. Love Jazz. I'm not moving Jazz from third. We now know that he plays third and he could be the third baseman in the future. The reality of it is, though, Cabrera is a good bat, but he's no different than Stanton. If he sits there and just decays on the bench, he is going to be awful at the plate. He is a rhythm player. So to me, I think you have to start getting him in the lineup. I mean, I understand Torres, he's been hitting well, and I get that, but so has Austin Wells, and you took him out today. And by the way, I like Narvaez, and I'll go as far as to say this. I think Narvaez should supplant Jose Trevino. And the reason I say it is I think Narvaez has a chance to be the better defensive player than Wells. I saw an arm today that I have not seen behind the plate. I love Wells. I've defended Wells at every turn. But Narvaez, that snap throw to first, he's got a cannon. Okay.
Have you seen Trevino's arm?
Sadly. So I think, you know, when push comes to shove, and I actually tweeted this out today because I think, you know, it's early. I get it. But tomorrow's August 1st, so it's not that early. And I did tweet out earlier this morning because I was thinking about it. It was kind of like an exercise for me, right? I had for whatever reason, on my feed had come up the ALCS series roster from 2022. I'm going to read this to you. The Yankees. So I think when we were talking yesterday about bullpen and all of that, I think we were really underestimating. There's only like five spots for relievers. But anyway, let me explain. So position players, this is the last time the Yankees were in the playoffs, okay? Position players, Harrison Bader, Oswaldo Cabrera, Matt Carpenter, Josh Donaldson, Kyle Higashioka, Aaron Judge, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Tim LeCastro, okay? Oswald Peraza, Anthony Rizzo, Stanton, Torres, Trevino. They only kept 13, and they kept 13 pitchers. 13 pitchers were Miguel Castro, who had just come off IR, or IL, Garrett Cole, Nestor Cortez, Domingo Germán, Clay Holmes, Jonathan Loaisiga, Frankie Montas, who just came off IL at the time, Wandy Peralta, Clark Schmidt, Luis Severino, Jameson Taillon, Lou Trevino, and Greg Weissert. First off, looking at this, this team is better. I'm going to say it right now. This team is a lot better than that team. A lot better.
That's oh, yeah, it's not a question. But the, yeah, absolutely.
The second thing I'll say, Gary, is I'm thinking about it, and even I put it in, like, when I was, you know, tweeting this out, because I tweeted out the picture, and then I tweeted out what I would do. I think the Yankees are in position where they might have to keep more hitters than pitchers. I'm not kidding you. They have a logjam. I mean,
so you think that's based on the returns? Because Poteet, yeah. Schmidt, those are both players that, in theory, guaranteed. They I understand they're not healthy now. They yeah. should be healthy by October.
Guaranteed. So,
yeah.
I only have, I like when I really thought about it, Garrett Cole, Luis Gil, Rodon, Cortez, Stroman, Schmidt, Poteet, right? That's seven guys.
Right.
So now, you know, essentially, you have seven pitchers that are starters, but October baseball is different. So Poteet, Schmidt, Stroman, probably Cortez are all in the bullpen, and you're probably rolling with Cole, Gil, and Rodon. It's probably the rotation, right?
For being honest, think they go three man?
I think they could go three man. Now, if they go four man, they would choose Stroman.
And Cortez, I think they go four man just for the simple fact that Garrett Cole is just, and I can't necessarily make this projection, mm-hmm. but I can't just assume Garrett Cole is going to be ready based on what we watch. Because
right now,
it's feeling a lot like Rodon last year, and not to that level because the talent is obviously on a different planet. But in as far as being behind schedule, watch how Yes Network described Garrett Cole. They basically said, yeah, I mean, he wasn't necessarily recovering the way he would like, but he could have pitched if he didn't have this stomach bug. It didn't have anything to do with his elbow. So we all took a, you know, we all said, oh, okay, great. And
he's pitching this weekend, supposedly.
He's pitching this weekend. So we all just relaxed. But where I'm at on it is if you watch Garrett Cole, he looks like he's in spring training mode, and understandably so. And all the other players are in midseason form. Rightfully so, they are. So having said that, am I necessarily confident that in a month and a half's time, that player is going to be part of my three-man rotation? I want Garrett Cole to be part of a three-man rotation, but he's got to be Garrett Cole. So if he's not, which is a possibility, I think the Yankees extend this out for a fourth day, because you have to remember, if there's a player who just finally physically gets caught up, right, with the rigors of the season, and now suddenly he's got to pitch every third game you play, I just don't know if that's a winning formula for the Yankees. And I am not exactly sure if I trust Aaron Boone to make the right decision here. I do think, though, if I had to make a guess, I think the Yankees roll with Stroman in their rotation and they give him that fourth spot in the postseason.
I
really believe that, because I think in general, the way he pitches, he likes to settle in. And Stroman's not the type of guy who's going to miss a bat, to be honest with you. He's the type of guy who wants to work his way through a start. He wants to think his way through a start. And he doesn't necessarily have the stuff of a Luis Gil, Garrett Cole. So that's how I see this playing out. It's a good problem to have because we have two quality pitchers coming back healthy. But like I said before, are those starters going to be comfortable in roles in the postseason that they didn't have during the regular season that they were succeeding in? It's something that has to be answered. And frankly, I guess it doesn't really matter if it does, because we don't have another trade deadline to talk about. It just has to work.
Yeah, you know, Clark Schmidt obviously had experience in 2022. So, you know, I think he could even beat out Strowman for the fourth spot. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
And Poteet as well. Poteet absolutely made a run as well to be in this rotation.
Yeah, no, he has good stuff. They all like they have a this is what I mean by they're a better team, because they have seven guys right there. Then you have Clay Holmes, Kane Lee, Leiter Jr., Hamilton, and Weaver. That's what I came to the conclusion of. I think those are the guys that they'll keep. But the reason I brought this up is because the position players. Because if you go through, I have them keeping 14 and having 12 pitchers. They kept 13 and 13 the last time, right?
Okay.
This is who I have them keeping. And this was not easy. I had to cut some guys. Austin Wells, Jose Trevino. Okay. I think that they should probably, by the time Trevino's back, Narvaez should be established as the backup catcher. Like, I like Narvaez, right? And I think they're going to roll with Trevino because of the experience, whatever.
Completely agree.
So you got those two guys, right? And I said they're keeping 14, so you have 12 more. That's not a lot. People don't realize. So that goes by quickly. Ben Rice, Anthony Rizzo, okay? That's four. Okay. Then you have Gleyber Torres, five. Anthony Volpe, six. Cabrera, seven. Chisholm, eight. Birdie, nine. Jason Dominguez, 10. Verdugo, 11. Judge, 12. Soto, 13. And Stanton, 14, which means DJ LeMahieu would not be on this roster. Because I think it's going to get worse. Today was great. Today was the upside down. Let's just be honest here. Today was the upside down. Clay Holmes got a save. Cortez was pretty decent on the road. And DJ LeMahieu had six RBIs. That is not going to be a consistent thing. So I got to be honest with you. I could be wrong. Totally could be wrong. DJ LeMahieu could be in there and John Birdie.
Well, who would...
Whatever.
Well, who would he replace on that? Like, who's he actually a candidate to replace? Because, of course, you're going to have two catchers.
Would be the only one. John Birdie and Anthony Rizzo. That would be it.
I think there's a better chance that Anthony Rizzo is off the postseason roster.
Well, I do too. I actually almost took him off, but
I would take him off the postseason roster. I think that's what you're looking at. Why?
There's one reason. Because he slugs. I think that they...
He slugs when?
Well, I think he has the capability to hit home runs. Like, you know, LeMahieu today, we all were shocked they hit a grand slam, right? Rizzo has power, and I could absolutely see them rolling with him because of that. And he's just very well-liked. So I'm not saying I would. Gary,
We're well-liked. We have a big podcast now. We're well-liked. Why aren't we starting for the Yankees? What are we sitting here talking about? You're well-liked? That's not a reason to put someone on the postseason roster.
I agree with you.
Which I know you're not saying.
But, I mean, come on. If we're being honest, would you really be surprised if Anthony Rizzo was on this postseason roster? Come on now.
I mean, not really. But,
loves him. But also DJ LeMahieu. So, I mean, I'm probably wrong. I mean, LeMahieu probably finds his way on there. Birdie probably has a setback, and we never see him this year. Dominguez has to be on this postseason roster, though. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. A starting lineup for the postseason would have to, in no order, you know, no actual batting order, but like going from, you know, positions. Mm-hmm. Wells has to start every
100%. Game. And he will.
Yeah. Ben Rice has to start first base. He has to. I could absolutely see them going with LeMahieu or Rizzo, but Ben Rice is the best first baseman on the team.
No, I think based on our options, I think Ben Rice would start.
And by the way, there were some rumors out there that Ben Rice, actually the reason they didn't acquire Jonathan India is they did not want to give up Ben Rice. So I thought that was interesting. So I thought it was more Spencer Jones. They did not want to give up Ben Rice. So I saw that out there.
I think that's kind of crazy in itself, if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but it was out there. So, I mean, I look at it like maybe they're really high on Ben Rice. Who knows? But, you know, the reality of it is Wells, Rice, second base is probably going to be Torres. But let me be honest here, okay? I mean, Torres, to me, when you're talking about one run games, every which way, that is postseason baseball. One run can win you the game. You could see games 1-0, 2-1, all of that. How can you justify putting a guy out there who's leading the league in errors?
You know how I know they will? It's a guarantee.
I just don't
know. They will, because if they didn't think they could, not trust him, but if they thought we don't have enough trust in him to do it at all and we won't, they would have traded him for an arm. They would have. They would have put him in a package and gotten something done. But the fact that you have a player who's on an expiring contract, who's making a lot of money, by the way, and you didn't do anything with that player at the deadline, that tells me you have plans for him. And that plan will be, because same thing with Nestor Cortez. Remember we asked those questions? Hey, what do you think? Nestor Cortez, Gleyber Torres, can they be traded? And multiple well-known reporters told us, yeah, the Yankees are going to consider it. Did they do that? Nope. Was anything close? No, it wasn't. So that's why I say there's just no way you can justify to me you're going to pay $14 million for a player. Consider trading him and then not. And then we get to the postseason. And Jake, you're absolutely right. Gleyber Torres is going to be really hard to watch out there defensively in 1 or 2 run games. Must win games. I have to trust him with his glove. So this is not all about hitting. It's also about the whole package. Who are you? So right now, the Yankees have kind of, after the deadline, showed us their hand. They've told us we're trusting everyone in the roles that they're currently in now, plus the additions that are coming back off the IL, right? Arm-wise,
yeah.
Stanton-wise, and Dominguez. That's their play. Whether or not that's the right play, I don't know. We're talking about people who have been at the helm for 15 years and failed. 15 for 15 they are, okay? So that's what we're talking about. Now, can this work? I would say it can, okay? It can work. But having said this, Jake, there's so many moving parts with this team. Verdugo has to continue hitting. Dominguez has to show up. And like you've said, you've mentioned this a lot. Dominguez has to show us he can stay healthy. He's got to show that to us. He's been hurt twice now, okay? You have a UCL, and then you have a, was it a lat issue?
Yeah, it's, I know, on a check swing. It's not good. You're 21
years old. Jason Dominguez is how old?
21.
Injuries happen, even to young players. But if you get hurt both seasons that you've played so far, at the very least, it raises questions, and now we need answers. So the Yankees didn't go find reinforcements out on the deadline. They didn't do those things. They're trusting in players that haven't proven themselves. So it can work. It's just, would I make the prediction it's going to? Not necessarily. It's going to get sweaty in New York.
No, it is. I would actually, want me to tell you what I would do?
Yeah, please tell me.
So Wells at catcher, Ben Rice at first base, John Birdie at second. John Birdie's played second a ton.
Oh, because you're going to leave. Okay, because you're going to leave Chisholm at third. I see.
I'm going to leave Chisholm at third. I want that athleticism there. I do. I think he's great. And then you have Volpe, who's a gold glove shortstop, right? Left field, Jason Dominguez. Center field, Judge. Right field, Soto. Then you have DH Stanton. Off the bench now, in the World Series, in the ALCS, whatever, off the bench, you have Trevino, you have Rizzo, you have Cabrera, you have Torres, and you have Verdugo. That is one of the best teams in the league.
That's pretty good.
And it goes back to what I was saying is, you know, we complain about Verdugo and Torres, but once they become bench players, now your bench is really good. I'm not saying they're going to do this, Gary. I know for a fact they're not going to play John Birdie at second.
No, it's not going to happen.
Plant Torres. I'm just saying that's what I would do. John Birdie has fewer errors than any other position at second besides third base, which is, you know, obviously he's a third baseman, but he's played left field. He's played second. He's played short. He has a lot of versatility that hasn't really been utilized because he only played third or DH this year. That's all he's done. So John Birdie is a guy that's going to get forgotten about, but they got him for a reason. So I think, I mean, it's kind of funny to have kind of two Marlins in the infield.
I think they're going to move Chisholm, by the way. I understand that we're all like riding high about Chisholm at third base. I think they'll move him back to second base. If Gleyber's not hitting in late September and early October, I wouldn't rule out, especially in a postseason game, in a must-win game, If Gleyber Torres is 0 for 10, 0 for 11, obviously he's not bringing anything on the base pass. He's not bringing anything with his glove. I mean, that's a given. I can see it where the Yankees, I think they really like Birdie, and I like the pickup. I can consider them putting him at third base, moving Chisholm to second base, which he's told us he prefers playing second base, but he's mentioned, I'll play anywhere. I'll play center field, left field, third base, second base. If you need me at short, I don't care. I'll play anywhere. I think the Yankees will put him where he's most confident. And putting Jazz Chisholm at second base isn't necessarily hiding him. He's the player you're seeing at third base. You're getting an even better version of that player at second base. Now, I'm not clamoring for him to go to second base, but if the Yankees have an option that technically is only comparable at third base, yeah, I would consider putting that player who brings speed, who brings contact and average, putting him in his most comfortable position in third base and allowing Jazz Chisholm to go back to his home position at second base and sacrificing the bat of Gleyber Torres. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to be that way, but like, what bat as well? I mean, you know, John Birdie's hitting 273. So, you know, if he comes back and that's what he's doing, you know, if that's who he is, I'd prefer the 273 hitter. I'll sacrifice the power and I'll focus on more of the on-base percentage being 322, the contact being there. And I think he's a better defensive player, which isn't crazy to say. So
not at all.
I think, you know, to wrap this up, I think, you know, kind of looking, and again, it's early to talk about it, but I felt like it was worth, you know, kind of a gander, especially after, you know, the trade deadline. This is probably the perfect time to look at it because, you know, we'll preview this before October, like right up until the postseason. But this is essentially all they have. I mean, yeah, you know, a guy might get DFA'd and, you know, they might have interest in certain guys that get, you know, cut or whatever from here and now. That's the only way you can, you know, improve your roster. They got rid of trade waivers that used to exist. Remember, one of the biggest moves ever in the history of the league as far as trades was a trade waiver move. And you remember who it was?
No, I don't.
Okay. So it was the Adrian Gonzalez move. Remember that big Adrian Gonzalez move? The Red Sox and the Dodgers? And
yes.
Carl Crawford?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a trade waiver trade. That happened.
What exactly is a trade waiver again?
So they would, all right, so this is what would happen. They would put, essentially, right? They would put guys on waivers.
Okay.
And it didn't mean jack shit unless there was a trade that came, because you put a guy on waivers and you had X amount of time to trade him. Otherwise he would revert back to your roster. And so you'd see all these guys go on trade waivers and nothing would happen. And okay. Then you had that giant trade and it was like, okay. And yeah, there used to be trade waiver moves. I think the Yankees did a few of them as well. So that used to be, okay, we swung out at the deadline, but there's trade waivers.
It was a saving grace. Like something could happen.
Which
in our situation
needs,
now, nothing, like there's not going to be any player, like any big player that's a name that you say, okay, he's going to fill the role as closer. Now that's established. That is not happening. It is either Leiter Jr. or you're going to throw somebody out there that's currently on our roster that you trust more than Holmes. Today, we had a really good day with Holmes.
DFA somebody, you can't trade them. It's
right. Only,
so yeah, you DFA done. Them and you're like, okay, they're either going to revert to your AAA roster or they're going to be claimed. That right. It's that simple. That's why I was hoping that.
And if they're any good, they will be claimed.
Yeah. I was hoping Josh Bell wasn't going to get traded for, because I would have loved Josh Bell in this lineup. I'm not going
to
lie.
Oh, yeah. He went to Arizona. That was a good pickup for them. They lost Christian Walker, so that made a lot of sense.
It did. It was one of those, this sucks, and then this just came available. And by the way, that's just sports. We talk about it all the time. Isn't it funny how sometimes the stars align and not so great of a way? I mean, oh, how are we going to fit this guy in the lineup? And then just sports happens. The guy gets hurt. Now, oh, I guess we're not going to have an issue fitting
Austin Wells. Austin Wells wouldn't be starting. I know a lot of people look at Austin Wells and they're just high and mighty and excited about this player that you're seeing. He's been this for the past 2 months.
Yeah.
Austin Wells, this is not a new development. Austin Wells was this player, but Trevino was a player that the Yankees, for whatever reason, trusted to actually catch half the time. So sometimes circumstances, as unfortunate as they are, they can help your ball club. It just sometimes works out that way. You never want to root for injuries. That's just never what we're about.
No.
But when you're watching and you see a situation where someone's splitting time, how many New England Patriots fans thought, oh, wow, I hope Bledsoe, you know, destroys his shoulder here on the sideline, and then the best quarterback that's ever lived is going to come into the game? How many people were thinking that? Maybe yeah, a couple sure. Jamokes on their couch.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's what we come to learn. It doesn't actually make them smart. It's just, you know, obviously you have people in sports and fandom and whatnot that'll be like, you know, put in, I don't know, Jamai Jones, and you know, he ends up playing and doing well, and it's like, see, I told you Jamai Jones is better than Aaron Judge, and it's like, no, you know, but you know, here's the deal, okay. The Yankees, in conclusion, to wrap this show up, just beat the Phillies. They swept them. They beat the Red Sox 2 out of 3. They salvaged what was a terrible July. Ended up being 11-13. I'll take that because, I mean, they were the worst team in baseball the last 20, 25 games or whatever.
And so it wasn't close.
They are tied now. They're in a four-way tie for the most wins in the league. After all that, they are in a four-way tie with the Phillies, with the Guardians, and with the Orioles. Orioles won today. They're a half game back. Yankees have Toronto upcoming. They have a day off tomorrow, but they have Toronto upcoming on Friday, and they'll start that series. They got the Rangers next week. So they have, you know, a new team. I feel like they're always playing the same teams. That's why the Phillies, you know, matchup, I thought was very breath, you know, like a breath of fresh air because it was kind of new since we haven't seen them play the Phillies yet this year. But the reality of it is, though, Gary, this is a better team than 2022. I will say it until I'm blue in the face. I mean, when you look at this team, they had Tim LeCastro on that team. Okay. Say what you will about LeMahieu and Rizzo and Trevino, but I mean, and Birdie. I mean, I know some people are critical of Birdie. Those guys are astronomically better than Tim LeCastro, who made the ALCS roster. Okay. And furthermore, Oswald Peraza, you know, I like Oswald Peraza, but those guys are better than Peraza. They have more experience.
Yeah, Kyle, but Jake, Higashioka, also, as is, yeah. Mean, it, as is tradition, though, Jake, we also we have Hamilton. To keep in mind, while you're right, the job is that whatever the teams were that we faced in 2022, that's just kind of how that works out. So your team may have been worse, but what were the circumstances? And you know this. I just want to make sure that this is outlined for people because – just because you have a better team than the 2022 team, right? And you go, okay, we feel like this role player is better than that role player. We feel like our third baseman is better than the third baseman we had then, right? And so you can go down the line and say, well, we didn't have Juan Soto for that run, 100%. But I will say it's circumstantial. We are going to see what we look like when we go play Cleveland. We're going to see what we look like when we play Houston. And Houston made a few pickups. We're going to see what that team looks like in October. We're going to be judged head to head based on who we are. I don't want to hear about people are excited about this young player or we project this young guy and this is our deadline. We didn't get super aggressive. All these moves, right? Chisholm and Dominguez and Stanton's return, Poteet's return, Schmidt's return. None of them matter if you can't go punch someone in the mouth in October. That's the way that we judge this team. It's the way we'll always judge this team. And it's the way America judges us as an enemy. Because remember, we are, I know people like, you know, people say the Yankees are America's team, but they're also the most hated. They might be the most liked. They are the most hated. People love to watch us lose. And that's fine. It's perfectly fine. Because you know what? I love to watch the Cowboys lose too. I love it. It's a joy of mine. I'm an Eagles fan. It's amazing for me to turn on ESPN, which I never do. Anytime I see the Cowboys lose, I turn on ESPN, I turn on SportsCenter. I want to see Scott Van Pelt talk about, yes, what went wrong, right? With Dak Prescott and all these different guys. It's enjoyable. So what do you think people think when they see, oh, the Yankees are after this guy and that guy and this guy, and Brian Cashman does nothing, right? And he usually does nothing, usually minimal moves, and Chisholm was a great move. But most of the time, we don't do anything of what we were asking. So then we get to October. We complain because we fell short to their enjoyment. And then we rinse and repeat. So there's such a huge emphasis on what happens with these returns. What happens with Jason Dominguez? There's pressure. If people think there's no pressure, oh, there'll be pressure. And at some point or another, we're sitting here and just enjoying ourselves as a Yankee show. But just know, guys, in just a few months, when we get into October baseball, each and every one of you, if you're a real Yankees fan, despite what you think is happening with this team, you will be nervous. And that's something Absolutely. That never goes away and never will. And I will tell you guys, it's a matter of, did Brian Cashman do enough? Did he pull the right strings? It's been 15 years in a row where he did not. And we're going to see if we go 16 or not.
No, you're right. And yeah, I mean, I think anyone could tell you as a sports fan. I mean, if you watch postseason baseball, football, basketball, whatever, the stakes are on the line. I mean, I think baseball is the scariest, if I'm being honest, because you're literally one swing away from the game changing on both sides. And we've seen it. And all it takes is somebody to not be on their A game. And most importantly, see, if a hitter's not on his A game, he can't give up runs, right? Because you're essentially not putting runs on the board as a hitter. When a pitcher's not on his A game, if you just happen to get that pitcher that woke up and wasn't feeling that well, but he's a competitor and he's just going to stick it out and he can't throw a strike, and now you've walked the bases loaded, and you know, here comes Yordan Alvarez in the ALCS and grand slam, and there you go. Now you're down four, a swing of a bat. I mean, yeah, it's a tough environment.
How about role players having major impacts in the postseason?
Yeah.
Who do you predict to do that? How many people think that the New York Yankees have a player? Because think of it this way. As there are a lot of people who look at a player. Let's just look at Jazz Chisholm, him only on this roster. You think he has the potential to be a star. I said, I don't think he'll be a star as far as Major League Baseball looking at him like a Juan Soto or an Aaron Judge, like a star in that regard. But I think he can star in his role, which is all this team needs. Does he have the talent of a Marco Scudero? Do you remember that performance he had in the World Series? How many people, show me the show in the world talking about Marco Scudero being the X factor for a Giants team in the World Series? How many people did that? How many people thought that Pablo Sandoval was going to go out there and put the team on his back and hit three homers against Justin Verlander in a single game? How many people thought that was going to happen? Not really anyone. So I say all that to say this. There are going to be role players that make or break this team. They always have existed. Hideki Matsui was our most important player that we had on that World Series run.
Dominant World Series performances ever. And it never gets talked about.
Do you think he was a better player than Alex Rodriguez? No. But situationally, sometimes you get more out of lesser players. Hideki Matsui is a really good player in this league. He was a great player. But was he A-Rod? Was he Jeter? Was he No, he wasn't. But sometimes players like Jazz Chisholm, sometimes guys like an Anthony Volpe, and we've protected him, a Jason Dominguez, can put a stamp on a series that can change our trajectory. If this team wins a World Series, it changes the way people view the Yankees. Right now, we're viewed as like the 2014 Lakers. We're not viewed as this scary juggernaut. I know we're a big organization, but we are not the Yankees that people remember.
Just find them annoying. I mean,
we have to get back to that.
They're the annoying team that got Soto. They're the annoying team that has a big payroll. They're the annoying team that has essentially fans who hold very high standard of them and think they're going to get everyone when they really don't. That's what people view the Yankees as. The Dodgers, people find them annoying because they actually get stuff done, and that's what's annoying. And they have a World Series. And, you know, that's really what it comes down to. So, no, I agree with you there. Yeah.
It can be changed.
It absolutely can. And I think, you know, I think it's getting to the point where if as long as Soto is brought back, if it's not this year, they're going to win a World Series soon. I really believe that. I really think they needed another guy with Judge. Now, of course, the issue there is Judge is getting older. We're not seeing it. We're really not. I mean, he looks like he's getting better with age, but that's also, I hate to say this, Gary, but he's also still in his prime. So, you know, right now you're not going to see a drop off. And, you know, when you hear that term, he's getting better with age, that, you know, we've heard that, and that's a thing. Like, until 32 and 33, that's true. And then, you know, Father Time is undefeated. It took down Tom Brady. It took down, you know, it didn't take down LeBron James yet. It took down Michael Jordan. You know, it took down Derek Jeter. I mean, Father Time always wins in the end. So you have to win at least one World Series with Judge. But I will say this to the baseball fans. Enjoy this era of baseball, regardless, Yankees or not. I don't remember this much parity. I really don't.
There is no real all-time great team. Like, you wouldn't see a team like the Yankees had in 09 where you're like, oh, yeah, we have Jeter, A-Rod, Cano, and Teixeira in the infield. There's no team really like that outside the Dodgers. And the Dodgers really had a monstrous top five of their lineup. But obviously, 6 through 9 was to be desired. Now, they kind of filled some of those roles with Edmund, right, and Rosario. And I thought those were really good pickups. But there's no runaway team this year.
No,
which is interesting. It is definitely interesting.
The closest to that, I think, that we've seen based on their lineup. The Braves were up there, and then Acuna gets hurt, and then Albies gets hurt. So I think it, you know, last year everyone kind of looked at it like, oh, that was just kind of once in a lifetime, you know, run by the Diamondbacks, and we're not going to see. I think we're headed to something like that again. Like, it could be the Yankees and Padres. People might not realize it. The Padres got dangerous. You know, at the, you know, at the,
that's just baseball. No one was saying the Texas Rangers last year, at the beginning of the year, people would have described them as a team that spent a lot of money on Simeon, a lot of money on Corey Seager. But what else you got after that? And now in hindsight, people can say, well, they had these two players who were key contributors in the postseason. Yeah, but why weren't you talking about them last year? Well, because a lot of times when GMs make decisions and managers make decisions, sometimes those players just show up and don't give you anything. And the other times, and I know people forget, but Gleyber Torres, just a few years ago during the COVID season, he was our best player in the postseason. He was unbelievable. Offensively, he and Giancarlo Stanton, if we made it to the World Series, Giancarlo Stanton was going to break the all-time record for home runs. Do people understand that? And Randy Arozarena did. People forget these things. So that's how close you are to changing the narrative of your organization. Right now, we are the Cowboys, but that can change. But you've got to do something for me to change that trajectory. I can't just do it for you. I'm just a podcaster. I'm not dropping down bunts. I'm not going first to third. I'm not doing any of these things. I'm just talking. So, Jake, we say all that to say this. It's post-deadline. It's put-up or shut-up time. Jason Dominguez has probably got a few weeks here. I think the Yankees will be patient. But when he's ready, this team will look very different. And now, I'm not saying that that's means it's an acceptable deadline because you've got this player waiting in the wings, but man, you better use him. If he's going to be untouchable, you better use that guy.
I agree. Last thing I'll say, Yankees are 5-0 since they acquired Jazz Chisholm. Let this be a reminder to anybody that thinks that deadline deals, that it's all just talking points and, you know, it's clout and whatever. No, sometimes the move you make, sometimes the move you don't make is the best move that you could make, right? That does exist. Sometimes staying pat is the answer, sometimes. But also, sometimes you can make a move that changes the complexion of your locker room, your clubhouse, whatever. And I'm telling you right now, since they made that move for Jazz Chisholm, everyone feels differently. That you might not see it, might not be evident. But I think it is evident, but it might not be as evident to everybody else. You can see, though, when you go out and get a Jazz Chisholm, a guy that has that kind of mindset, right? And he's having fun, and he's just kind of a carefree player in a good way, right? Doesn't let anything really get to him. Loves the spotlight, loves the bright lights. It's why I think he's going to be the hero of the postseason. I'm calling that now. But I think with Chisholm, it was also kind of a reminder to everybody in the locker room that, like, hey, you know, no one's safe here. You know, if you're not Judge, if you're not Soto, this guy's going to take your job. I want guys to compete. I want guys to perform. I want guys to produce. And if you're not doing that, you could get benched. We saw Gleyber got benched. I thought Aaron Boone deserves credit for benching Gleyber because I do think that's helped him out since. And I do think it got the point across. I think you've seen better play since. So I say all this to say the move for Chisholm has changed this team. How long does this change resonate? Is this a full year thing? Is this kind of like a week thing, a month thing? We'll find out. But you can't sit there and tell me that this move for Jazz Chisholm didn't shake up this roster.
Yeah, I guess the question is, is that enough? And that's been the question. I will say I think the average person really likes the Chisholm fit. He's not an all-time great player. but the fit is there. He's athletic. He'll play any position. He does it well. And frankly, when you look at the rest of the roster, you wouldn't describe them the way you would describe Chisholm. What he's good at, the Yankees are predominantly bad at. So it's a good fit for this team. Now, is a good fit going to be enough to win a World Series? That's the way we judge ourselves. So we're going to see what happens. I would say give it a month, not just to be overly patient. We're Yankees fans. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. But the way this works is that a month from now, when Jason Dominguez gets to this roster, we're going to see where they put him on this in this lineup. Do they hit him leadoff? Do they hit him third or fourth? Do they try to move Judge and Soto to the 3 and 4 spot? We don't know how they're going to deploy these players. And in a month, when that happens, we're really going to see what the full Yankees lineup looks like. And we'll understand then, just before the postseason, if it is enough.
Yeah, and keep in mind, September call-ups, the roster expands to 40 and then downsizes to 26 for the postseason, which makes no sense. But the roster does expand to 40. We will see guys like Vivas. We will see guys like Dominguez. Hopefully Dominguez is called up sooner, but that's going to do it. We appreciate you guys. You guys have been amazing. We hit 2,000 views, or 2,000. That's funny. We hit 2,000 subscribers. Excuse me on that one. And by the way, you guys might not know this. We actually hit our 100th episode. So we really appreciate you guys. You know, we're trying to do this every day. We had that spot, I think in May, Gary, where we just weren't able to put out a show every day, but we got back on track. And I think maybe it was April, but either way, we got back on track and we're here for the long haul. All right. So hopefully you guys enjoy. And if you did watch all of this, we're going to keep throwing code words out there. So Gary, what code word should someone drop in the comment section to show that they watched the full
Sandlot 2?
Sandlot 2.
No one saw that movie, so let's go with Sandlot 2.
All right, cool. So Sandlot 2, drop in the comment section. We'll know that you saw the full thing. We appreciate all the Oppenheimers out there. You guys are the real MVPs. But that's going to do it. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Follow us on all social media at JK Bogan, at Gary Sheffield Jr., and at Yankees Unloaded. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
And like this video.